Powered by Riverside.
Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is volume 2, episode number 44. Our air date is Thursday, December 5th, 2024. I am your host, C. Willie. I am joined again this week by the incomparable
Quarter Pete.
That would be her. Our special guest, a gentleman that we've really been looking forward to having on our show, George Shingleton, joins us tonight. George, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. We first met you in Nashville on our first trip to Nashville, you were playing in Doc Holliday's. John Eason was taking us to all the spots that we needed to hit while we were down there, brought us in there, and there you are going and belting it out and just had a ball, and we're just so excited we've got you here tonight.
No, I appreciate that. That was awesome for him to bring you in and introduce us.
So, John's a great dude too. Yeah,
very nice guy. Absolutely, good people.
How did you get into all of this? What brought you into music?
I think you just kind of have a bug for it when you're young. I think it just not always. I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be when you're young, but I was. Sure. You know, I was probably 4 years old, and I started playing a tambourine in church.
Oh, really?
They let me beat on one of those for a while, and then I started singing with the choir and. You know, everybody just kind of noticed that that's what I kind of like to do. And I noticed it myself. And then by the time I was 10, 11, 12, in that range, I was doing solos in the church services, you know, on gospel songs. And my grandfather got me a guitar at 12 years old. And I just kind of, you know, stuck to that. I mean, you know, just kind of, I got it early.
That way, so a very natural way to get into it all. So you had that in you from the start.
Pretty much. I mean, you never really, I'm not sure. I think most of us that have that in us, you know, it was real early.
Yeah. Well, and I think you've got a gift too, because one of the things we noticed is just how powerful your voice is and the it's a genuine sound. It's not the manufactured music sound that we hear so often. You're from the soul. It's real, and it's wonderful.
No, thank you. Appreciate that. That's a compliment. I'll take it. But yeah, I mean, it's never really was trained too much, you know. It just kind of left it the way it was. I don't know.
That's all right. You know, from our standpoint, that's what makes you unique, and that's what we like. We, you know, that's why we do this program. We like to talk to the folks that are independent, that are doing their thing, and have that unique sound. And you certainly do have that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Quarter Peep and I were talking, you know, before we came on camera, and how cool it was. Well, Quarter Peep, you go ahead about how we got to hear some of his stuff.
So, yeah, when we were in Nashville for the Josie Awards, of course, we were talking about John Eason showing us around downtown, and we walked right in. You were playing, and you were playing an original, which is what we absolutely love. Covers are great, but then we walked in, and we're like, who is this guy? So we sat right down, and it was like we were trying to talk to John, but we couldn't because our... Like, who's this dude? You know, and we were looking you up on Instagram while you were playing. You probably didn't know that.
That's awesome. No, it's kind of a rarity. I mean, it's coming back a little more down there as far as getting some originals downtown. You know, I've just always, I felt like if I was going to play, I at least got to do that. If not, yeah. I mean, that could make a 3 or 4 hour show real, real rough. So
we're in. Talent play in a place like Doc's, where I know it's so encouraged that you do the covers and so forth. Is it a challenge to be able to work your music into that? And how do people? I mean, we reacted. We loved it. That's why we got you here. How do people react when you're doing your originals?
Sometimes it's easier to get a new crowd in. If that makes any sense. Me and the doorman have a running joke. As soon as I get there, he'll be like, this is one of those crowds you're probably going to have to push out and get your own crowd to come in. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, and we'll just laugh about it. I'm like, all right, I'll start with some Merle, you know, some old slow Merle, you know.
Yeah.
It's usually a younger crowd and they just don't take to a lot of that stuff, really. But
well, that's true.
I can't change into the new format at all because it just doesn't fit me. And it doesn't make any sense to try to sell something you're not. And I just feel like I've been very blessed with, like, the owners of Doc and the GM there. She really pushed letting me do the originals. And so I really only play there downtown other than the Tin Roof on Broadway. We do a weekly show there. The band's together. That's with the band. And they're not one of the honky, they don't really consider themselves a honky tonk where they stick to standards. They're more, they allow people to experiment with what they do. That's and right. As long as, you know, it's working out okay and they're not chasing too many people off, they'll allow it. So, we've been blessed, you know, as far as being allowed to do that, but there's only a few clubs that really let you do that too much. So,
well, the cool thing about Docs too is the positioning where you are. Docs is a small bar. It's not
you're right with the crowd.
You are. Yeah. You're right there. I mean, you had to be careful turning around. I didn't want to hit you with my Bush Light. It was that tight. But I think that makes it even that much more special is you're right there with us. And we can see what you're doing.
Well, it's probably easier to get an energy to feel off of what you think the crowd's feeding off of. So that makes it easier to choose the next song after you come out of one or... You know, but sometimes that doesn't help. Sometimes people just ain't there for it. They're just going to sit there and watch the sports channel, you know.
Spinning that wheel up there at Docs.
Right.
The first one that we got.
That's great entertainment.
And I'm sure from your angle, it's real.
You
have to go to Doc Holidays. You got to sit around there for a little while and have somebody spin the wheel. You'll know exactly what he's talking about. So the first one that we've got queued up from you, George, is Handful of Hell, and a great video that goes along with this. We've enjoyed this often. Tell us a little bit about the making of this, about where this came from.
Okay. I've probably told this story 100 times or more. My wife saved my life about 20 years ago. I mean, in all reality, I was not headed in a good spot. And she kind of pulled me away from it, you know, just by happenstance. And a few years ago, I was driving and I just kept thinking, man, how'd I get so blessed and lucky? You know, I ain't never really been nothing but trouble. And, you know, and so I just kind of, it just kind of fell out with the idea fell out, Handful of Hell. And then I tried to write it a couple different times. It took me probably 2 or 3 years to really get a grasp on what I wanted to say out of it and where it was headed. And then I went took it to a buddy of mine, Chris Paterno. I kind of already had part of the course and, you know, the idea. And he and I sat down and sketched it out and went through it. And then I probably a month later went back. We messed around with it some more, and then it just kind of was right at Christmas time 2018, I think 2017, 2018, 19, something like that. And I finished it up sitting on my couch. I just kind of doctored it, kind of, you know, you just kind of tweak things.
Sure.
And I just finished tweaking it, and I thought, this is it. So it kind of got finished there right around Christmas, and I did a work tape on it real quick on my phone and sent it to my wife while she was at work. And she said, you always are trying to make me cry when you write those songs. She cried at work, so that was pretty cool. So,
what an outstanding.
But that's kind of my wife's my muse. I mean, she really is on a lot of that stuff. So,
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Well, it's an awesome story when you watch the video and when you really listen to the song. I know exactly what you're saying. It's not a good road that C. Willie was going down either. And these things that you get somebody placed in your life that is that angel that's got you under the arm. And,
right.
What a great tune. Let's give this one a listen. This is Handful of Hell. And you know the backstory now. You got to see the video. Check it out on YouTube. But here it is. This is George Shingleton's Handful of Hell.
I was born a fighter. Yeah, and out all night. Smoking whiskey ain't no strangers to me. Well, she's a saint though, wears a golden halo. She's not much for sin, she keeps her soul clean. And I know I might not make it into heaven. I never take the time to get down on my knees. I'm not the kind to go searching for redemption. So how'd I ever get this lucky to live under the arms of an angel when all I've ever been is a handful of hell? No, I'm not worth it. I'm so far from perfect. Sowed my wild oats, I planted some bad seeds. She's amazing grace, so full of good faith. She believes she can love the devil out of me. And I know I might not make it into heaven. I never take the time to get down on my knees. I'm not the kind to go searching for redemption. So how'd I ever get this lucky to live under the arm of an angel when all I've ever been is a handful of hell? I said I know I might not make it into heaven. I never take the time to get down on my knees. And I'm not the kind to go searching for redemption. So how'd I ever get this lucky to live under the arms of an angel when all I've ever been here's a handful of hell? Said I was born a fighter, yeah, not all nighter.
I tell you what, I think the acoustic version is even more powerful than the version with your the emotion. The emotion that comes through there is just fantastic. And a beautiful, beautiful song.
It's amazing. Just it's every time we listen to it, we want to cry. I mean, it's so beautiful. Okay, so you told us you texted to your wife. What did she say? Or was she your wife then?
Oh, she was my wife then. We've been married 17 years. This was 2018, I think, Christmas 2018. Okay. And she was at work, and I sent it to her, and she listened to it, and she sent a text and she's like, "You always try to make me cry." So she was crying. And I mean, she liked it.
That's the reaction. Isn't that, that's the beauty of music. That's the kind of reaction that you can get from writing a song.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like making somebody cry in the audience. I mean, you don't want to make them sad, but you're not necessarily making them sad. You're just making them feel something.
Pull that emotion.
Like, when you see them cry over something like that, you know, get emotional. It makes you feel like, all right, I did my job.
Yep, like, you're doing what you're supposed to do.
At least somebody feels what I feel on that one.
Yeah. Tell us, that you're writing, what's your creative process? How do you go about putting together the songs that you do?
I don't even know. I do a lot of co-writing. So I enjoy the co-writing world, like, a lot. I do write by myself. I try to make myself write. weekly, at least once or twice a week by myself for at least, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours to try to at least come up with ideas or, you know, whatever. If I write a song by myself, chances are it'll take me 6 months. And I'm very nitpicky about it if I do it by myself because I don't have anybody else to bounce it off of to make it better. I only have, so I get real, I mean, real rulesy. If that makes any sense. Like, I won't break any rules. And if I do break a rule, it's got to be, I mean, there has to be a really good reason, you know, and it's got to make sense to break that rule. And so my creative process is very weird. Like, a lot of times I come up with the thoughts and the ideas on my couch sitting late at night, you know, after the end of the day when I'm just picking around on a guitar, kind of thinking, goofing, and or watching stupid reels and watching TV, and something will just pop in your head an idea, and you'll get a melody with a thought, and it might be really stupid, but the next day it might make sense to maybe try to make it a hook, you know? So just that, and, you know, you take stuff with other people. If you have a really good thought and an idea or something really started with someone else, take it to, it's really, if they get it, it's really, it's awesome for that, their creative side to really.
Kind of that collaboration, you know, that kind of teamwork.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you have a good co-writer, I mean, you get along really well with the process and you both understand each other, you can really write some good songs. And it's when you don't know somebody that if you get a good song out of that one, you're definitely going to write with those people again. Like, if you get a good one out of the first one with somebody you will always want to go back because it's...
You have a group that you are a couple of go-tos that, hey, I've got this thought and here, let's talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, because I didn't really start writing real, real heavy until about 2016, as far as really wanting to push on the writing side of things. So it took me a while to get that. But once you start finding, there's a guy I write with, we pretty much dedicate every Monday together. His name's Jamie Adamson. And if it's just something about it, we click.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that for a few years. I mean, we don't always get a banger, but... You know, it's just we get a lot of ideas and then we'll bring in third writer, you know, another co-writer, especially artists that, you know, want to write and you want to, you know, always want to write with the writing artist. So it's, you know, it's like they bring something to the table also. And if you got an idea they like, it's that much easier when you got them sitting there, you know what they'll say, what they won't say. To me, I love writing with artists, other songwriting artists, because it's, the collaboration, you know, you can't do everything by yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, there's so much competition out there. I think once you get past three writers, though, I'm not comfortable.
Yeah.
I get real uncomfortable because then it's like too many people in the room. And it's like,
well, I do. If I've got more than three editors, I'm in trouble. So,
yeah, I believe it.
So this next one that we've got queued up from you there, George, is Glory Bound. Tell us a little bit about the song.
I wrote that with the fella that's produced a really good chunk of, well, he produced both first three projects, really. His name's Dave Pahanish, and he's a killer musician, songwriter, creative, artist, producer, you name it. There's probably only maybe 7 to 10 of these guys left in Nashville that can really got a grasp on it. And in my opinion, as far as the all-around Bob Dylan-esque, knows how to do it all, you know. There's not a lot of those guys left. That's my opinion. I hope I'm not stepping on toes.
It is in music right now. It's one of the things we talk about. A lot of it is manufactured now. And so when you find somebody that's real and then knows the process from the grassroots all the way through, you're fortunate to find that.
I was blessed to get to meet him. He's 50% of the reason why I came to town. He pushed on me to come to town. He'd had some songwriting success and, you know, and the first 2 years wouldn't even write with me after I got here. He just kind of lined me up with some stuff to where I could have doors open to where I could go write and get songs and then come back. And, you know, it's a learning process if that's not what you came here for. I came here I just wanted to be an artist. You know, I didn't know any better. And so I was writing some songs, but I didn't think I was good at that. So I didn't think that was a thing that I wanted to chase, but you know, we wrote Glory Bound, and that's when we started. That was the first song we finished together when we started that first album. And that, and after that, we wrote a few more for the album. And then, you know, we've written a bunch since. So, I mean, I really have the utmost respect for Dave Pahanish, and it doesn't matter what successes there are in life on my end. He'll always be on a soapbox, or, you know, he'll always be on a pedestal, I guess I should say.
There you go.
You know, I just think he's the epitome of a true artist, creative, you know.
Well, let's give this one a listen. This is a collaboration with Dave. This is Glory Bound.
Yeah.
That's the way I'll be until the day I die. And what's dawn is dawn. I was born to run, but not to run and hide. All the way to town. Should have run the first time that I met you. I stayed half my life to forget you. I done my time and I won't let you take me down. That's over now. I'm glory bound. Take it. Oh, my daddy tried, but you can't tell a young man what to do. Oh, when it's too far gone and too blind to the truth. All but one thing's true. Should have run the first time that I met you. I stand half my life trying to forget you. Done my time and I won't let you take me down. That's over now. I'm glory bound. Take it. Time.
Right. From George Shingleton, that's Glory Bound. I have to separate myself back from this because I become such a fan when we're doing this.
We're huge fans. We were even watching the videos today. We're like, oh, you're on our playlist.
I don't like listen to myself.
That's interesting. You're not the first person that's told us on here that you produce this great stuff. Is it? I can kind of relate because I hardly listen to any of our shows. I probably shouldn't.
Okay.
But we do this, and it's like, okay, that's it. The mold is broken. Now we're done, and we move on and do the next. Is that kind of how you feel about the song?
Yeah, and then I've never liked my voice. Never. Just do not appreciate it on a telephone, like a cell phone message.
Sure.
When I was growing up, I just always cringed. And so I guess that there's that, and then there's just so many criticisms and things that pop up in my head, like, man, I should have done something way different than that, or I really could have chose a different note, or I don't know. I just don't want to hear it.
No, I know.
I don't know why. I mean,
we'll go through and do the editing process, and we'll listen to it. And okay, are we comfortable with all that? And I probably the same thing with you. You become the perfectionist, so I needed to change that, or I should have done this, or I should have said that. And so I know.
Don't change a thing.
I usually listen to the first mix, and then the final mix before mastering.
And then
when it comes back mastered, I'll listen maybe half of it. And then I just toss it to the side and, whatever they do with it. And, let me know how to promote it and what's the next step. I just don't.
But do you find that playing it live then is okay? Because
I think that's the problem. I don't think I sound bad live.
There you go.
I hear all the inside vocal. Like when you put the earplugs in or whatever, you can hear your voice. You don't sound as bad or something. Something changes, and I don't think that there's ever been any recording where I've captured what I do on stage or what I sound like. I just don't even know how to get there, and I just,
Well, having seen you live, I know it's dynamic, and we certainly appreciate
You have live artists and recording artists, and some of them can cross over and do really well at both.
Yeah.
Chris Stapleton, Luke Combs, guys like that, they have it. They can do both, and I just... Sometimes I think that recording process might just not be for me. It just might not translate, it's so weird. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, where do folks find you, George? If we're going to be around, where do we see you? Where are you performing generally?
This year I kind of took off as far as I just did private shows a lot on the road, corporate gigs. I did a lot of stuff in town, which I've always done. So anytime I've been in town, I always play. Doc Holidays is my main place on Saturdays and Sundays when I'm in town, 3 to 6. That's my favorite joint. Then, like I said, Tin Roof with the band on Thursdays if I'm in town. I'm hoping to be out on the road a lot more. So we just kind of went through some big changes this year, and I kind of laid back and said, I don't want to chase the road anymore for a minute. I've been doing that for 10 years. And
there you go.
We're recording our next stuff, but they can find me on Instagram, Facebook. I have a website.
There's not a lot going on.
If there's nothing showing on where I'm on the road, it's like there's really nothing. I'm playing at Docks or the Nashville Palace or Scoreboard, same outfit, but for the most part, Saturdays and Sundays and Wednesday afternoons, 3 to 6, I'm at Doc Holidays. So,
what's the social media address there? Where are they finding you?
It's George, G_Shingleton, I believe. Or is it George Shingleton? I'm not really good at that. George Shingleton Music on Facebook, but the Instagram stuff, I think it's just George Shingleton.
Okay.
On Instagram, but there's really not, and I think it's George Shingleton for TikTok also. But there's probably a music after it. But.
Well, and we know from looking you up and seeing all the videos on YouTube, it is George Shingleton on YouTube.
But that's good. Awesome. I'm glad you know that. I'm just not a technological guy at all.
Just want to create and play. Worker on our end. I don't know the first thing about all this social media. She's the one that all that. So I'm right there with you, George.
That's me. And
so the last one. Well, and you know what, though? Quarter Peep, you were talking about some of the merch.
Oh, yeah. So, girls, ladies, if you're into, like, crop top sweatshirts, he has what's called Talkin' Whiskey Line. And it's really, really cute. Definitely go on there. The t-shirts are cute, but the half crop sweatshirt, I'm all in. So, ladies, check that out.
Yeah, make sure you check that all out. George, the last one that we've got queued up is Greyhound of Georgia. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Now, this one I started one night real late and could only get like the first two lines of the chorus, but the thought was there, but I didn't know what it was about. And then like my wife kicked me out of bed for it because I just kept saying it over and over what the lines was. And then I just drew a blank when I went downstairs. And then about 3 months later, I was hanging out with some buddies of mine. Jefferson Crow and Brandon Calhoun and Elizabeth was there, and she doesn't normally write, but she decided she wanted to write with us that night. And we started in on this song, and there ended up being four writers on it, which is funny because you usually can't agree with four people, but there was plenty.
That's tough to do.
Yeah, there's plenty of moonshine to make us all agree. And so we didn't finish it. We didn't even know what the hook was. And then about a few weeks later, me and the Brandon Calhoun, one of the co-writers, we got together and was sipping on some moonshine and finished it. It just came to him what it was, and we just finished it out, and everybody was in agreement. So, and it's a fun song. It's
a
choir background. It's so soulful gospel. It's you know, it's right up my alley. What I like. So
it's a great one. I think we all should grab a little moonshine and give this one a listen.
Yeah, for sure.
This is George Shingleton, Greyhound of Georgia.
I've been gone so long, living this cowboy song. When nights turn into days, turn into nights, I'm tired of this spinning wheel and damn this lonesome road. Just need a one-way ticket, Lord, I'm going home. And I'll be riding that Greyhound line on the way to Georgia. And I can't wait to get all these honky tonks and old guitars are driving me insane. No more Colorado rain, don't need this highway game. Greyhound to Georgia. Don't need to Rocky Mountain hop, just wanna smell the Georgia. I can't wait to get you in my arms to hold.
I'm a fan, can you tell?
I like that song. That one always makes me happy. I don't know. There's just something happy about it.
That is a great tune. That feels good. It really does.
It's a feel-good song.
You can hear the church in there, too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That was so fun with all the people in the background, you know. Yeah. You know, they just did it coming in parts, and you know, that was awesome.
But George, I can't tell you how much we appreciated having you on the show. It's so much fun. You know, when we were planning the trip to go down to Nashville and the reasons that we were going down there, what we were doing for the Josies and so forth, we didn't expect this. To be very honest, we hoped for this. We hoped to meet somebody. We hoped to meet George Shingleton while we were there, and we had the good pleasure of or the good fortune of having John take us around and yes, we did meet somebody that we wanted to meet while we were there. And well, come back to this point now, we've got you on the show. Fantastic. Thank you so much for the storytelling. Thank you so much for the music.
I appreciate y'all having me very, very much. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Quarter Peep, who we have on next?
Oh, yes. We have Michaela Prue.
Oh, we're looking forward to having Michaela there. That'd be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And before we wrap things up, I want to give a quick plug, if we could. This weekend in the Detroit area, this will be Saturday the 7th and Sunday the 8th of December. It's the 17th annual Rock for Tots. It's at Freddy's Bar and Grill, 17006 Eleanor Drive North in Clinton Township. It's benefiting the Clinton Township Goodfellas. There are going to be 50 bands there in the 2 days. They've got a couple of stages. It's going to be a good time. Help them rock it out for a good cause, raising money. They want to make sure no kid goes without Christmas this year. So get out there for the 17th annual Rock for Tots. I think that's going to be a wrap on the show tonight. I want to thank George Shingleton one more time. George, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate you.
And for all of you out there in podcast land, you can catch us on Spotify and pretty much every other platform that you get your podcasts on. We are on them all. iHeartRadio, Pocket Cast, you got it. They're out there with it. If you've got anything you want to find out about the show, where we're going to be, VehicleCitySound.com. Drop us a line. Tell us where we can find more folks like George. Get on the show. It's VehicleCitySound@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. And hey, thanks an awful lot for joining us tonight. George, thanks again.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody. Be good.